Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you. So good to be with those of you joining us online. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and we are currently in a series that we're calling Encountering Jesus, where we're looking at these encounters Jesus had with different people when he was here and seeing how their lives intersect with ours today. So far, we've looked at his encounter with somebody from the IRS. We looked at his encounter with a family. And today, we're going to be looking at an interesting encounter about a guy who had a very interesting question for Jesus. He wanted to know the rules in order to have a relationship with God. Now, not a strange question, because we all have rules that we live by. You probably heard of some of these, such as early to bed, early to rise makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay. When the cat's away, the mice will. All right. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Good. No dejes para mañana. Lo que puedes hacer. Okay, you got that one. Good, good, good. Okay. Some common sense rules for living. Now, I got a couple more for you that you may not have heard of, but I just want to, just trying to help us out. Okay, here's one. Don't, under any circumstance, take a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same time. Don't ask me how I know. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to help you out. Okay, here's another one. Don't name your dog Oyeme if you live in Hialeah. They'll all come running, right? And here's one final one. Okay, you never need to ask Pastor Kevin his age because he's always
35.
Oh, you guys got it. Hey, give yourselves a round of applause. Nice job, yeah. All right. So the encounter we're looking at today is all about this. It's all about rules, about having a right relationship with God. And what we're going to discover in this encounter today is that a relationship with God has never been about rules. It's always been about a relationship. So let me take you back a little bit, okay? Let's go back. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, first man, first woman. So let's go back a little bit. And in that space, that Garden of Eden, that perfect in paradise, Adam and Eve, they were friends with God. I mean, they walked with God and talked with God much like we would do with a person today. That's the relationship they had with God. It was this organic, natural, incredible relationship. And by the way, that's the way God always wanted it to be. But we know from living life that things don't always turn out the way we always want them to be. The devil showed up in that space. And the devil started throwing shade about who God is. And Adam and Eve started having doubts like, man, God seems like this great God, but maybe what the devil's saying is true. Maybe he's not what we think he is. And they started having some very real doubts about God. And these very real doubts about God taught them to not trust God. And now they didn't trust him. They disobeyed him. Now God still loved them. He never stopped. God never stops loving people. But because they didn't trust him, because they disobeyed him, they now had a separation from God. They felt separated from God. And you can read the story back in the book of Genesis that when God came looking for them, they were hiding. They distanced themselves from God, and God never wanted there to be a distance. And through the years, through the decades, through the centuries that followed, you could see with humanity that this relationship that started out so organic, so incredible, so amazing, so wonderful, it began to lose those relational qualities. And what happened to something that started out as a friend and as a friendship? Humanity began to relate to God instead of through friends, started to relate to God on the basis of rules and regulations and rituals. You can see it throughout time. You can just see how it's happened. And instead of relating to God relationally, we now relate to God on do this and don't do this and do this and don't do good. And what I'm describing is religion. Relationship has deteriorated into religion. So that's the backstory. Now, into this scene comes Jesus. And Jesus is showing us over and over and over again that, look, that relationship that we had back that one day back in the Garden of Eden is still possible today. Jesus says, I want it to be possible today. And he talks about God as a, in fact, you know the prayer. We say this prayer, the Lord's Prayer taught us to pray, our? Yeah, our Father. Many of you know this, our Father. And Jesus is teaching us and showing us that, listen, God is not about the do's and the don'ts. Now, those are important, but it's about a relationship. So it's in this climate, with this as a backdrop, that we pick up our encounter today. So I'd love for you to do something with me. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Message notes are all virtual. So they're on our Miami Vineyard app. If you don't have the app downloaded yet, very simple download. If you're in the room today, scan this QR code, the seat back in front of you, download our app. It's a free download. If you're in the room or online, you go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, find Miami Vineyard, download the app. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on This Weekend Message Notes, This Weekend Message Notes, or we got paper copies of the notes as well. If you want a paper copy, they're at the back. You can get them now. You can get on the way in next week if you want to do it that way as well. So the encounter we're looking at today is commonly known today as an encounter with the rich young ruler. But back in the day, it wasn't known that way. This guy didn't have a name. Like, you know, his Instagram account was not Rich Young Ruler. Okay, I'm just saying. So here we go. So we pick up the story in verse 17 of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. So as Jesus went out into the street, a man came running up and greeted him with great reverence and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" So that's the beginning of the story. So, I mean, imagine this happening today. Jesus is here today. Imagine he's hanging out Richmond Heights, Kendall, South Beach, whatever. If you're live with us right now online, just put in the chat where you're joining us from, where you're watching us from, what city you're watching us from. He says, "So good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" In other words, what must I do to get this God, closer to God? On the surface, it seems like a great question. Like, right? What's wrong with the question? Sounds like a great question. But notice he said, "What must I do? What must I do?" And this has always been the problem of trying to connect with God, as I've mentioned. We have reduced a relationship down to do's and don'ts. And Jesus is getting after this. Okay? He's giving this tie a little time. He's just working his way through the conversation. But Jesus, what must I do? Again, it's not a bad question. It's a logical question. If you're on the job, what must I do? How many hours do I got to put in? How much do I got to make in sales? What must I do? If you're on a diet, what do I got to do? How many calories can I have? How many calories can't I have? If you're a parent, what must I do? What must I do to get this kid to go to sleep? What must I do to get them to behave? If you're a parent with older kids, what must I do to get them to leave home? You know, those kinds of things. You're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're on social media. What must I do to get this number of followers to be successful? What must I do? Not a bad question. But the question of Jesus was a flawed question because of the backdrop I mentioned to you. It's a wrong question. So we pick up more of the story. Verse 18, Jesus goes on with this guy. Jesus said, he said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good but only God." And Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat. Honor your father and mother." Look what he says. The guy says, he said, "Teacher, I have from my youth kept them all." Whoa. You're going, this guy, if he's telling the truth, this is a very good guy. "I've kept them all from my youth." I mean, this is a really good guy. This is the kind of guy you want your daughter to marry, kind of a guy. But Jesus knew there's a bigger issue in this guy's heart. Jesus knows. And something you got to know about Jesus always goes after the bigger issues. He loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. Jesus is always going after the bigger issues. Because why? Because he always has something better for us. Always something better. And he's always trying to let go of these small issues and go after the bigger issues. So he's going after the bigger issues. He loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. So he says, and Jesus goes on and says in the next verse, Jesus looked him in the eye and loved him. He loved him. And then notice what he says, rest of the verse. He said to this guy, There's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come follow me. The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Now, let's unpack this a little bit today. Let's unpack this a little bit. Because in this story, this encounter, we see a guy wrestling with things. It's the same things we wrestle with today. So if you're taking notes, here we go. Let me give you a couple misconceptions this guy had. Same misconceptions we have today. Here's the first misconception, number one. Here's what this guy's thinking. What I do is enough to have a relationship with God. What I do. And again, as we read through the story, we got to admit the guy's a lot going for him. He's a morally good guy. Jesus rattles off 5 or 6 commandments, and the guy says, I've kept them all since I've been a kid. I wonder how many of us could look at that list and say we've kept them all since we were young. I've always honored my father and mother. I've never told a lie. I've never stolen. I never withheld from the IRS something that was rightfully theirs. Recently, the telephone rang at a small countryside church, and the minister answered the phone. The guy on the other line said, is this Pastor Smith? Pastor Smith said, it is. The man said, this is the IRS. Can you help us? Pastor Smith said, I can. The IRS said, do you know Sam Cohen? Pastor said, I do. Is he a member of your church? He is. Did he donate $10,000 to your church? Pastor Smith said, he will. Tax time is right around the corner, yeah. Listen, I've talked with a lot of people over my 35 years of life. A lot of people. I've talked with people inside church. I've talked with people outside of church. I like to just engage with people. We talk about sports. We talk about politics. We talk about things. We talk about spiritual things. We just talk about their whatever. So I've talked with so many people. And here's the deal with people. And it's not just people from Miami. It's people from all over, all parts of the world, different nationalities, different languages, different everything. Here's what's true about human beings. Here's what's true about humanity. A lot of people think, in fact, almost everyone thinks, that the way I get close to God, the way I get eternal life, is by doing something, doing good things. The more good things I do, the higher and higher and higher I get, and I can get there. That's what most people think. Most people think. If I help somebody across the street, if I give money to some charities, if I go to church on Christmas and Easter, if I feed the stray cats in my backyard. Now, some of you know that my wife loves cats. Some of you know I do not. My wife has never met a cat she hasn't loved. I mean, not just liked, I mean loved. She thinks every cat is a gift from God. So my wife started feeding a stray cat in the backyard. Guess what happens when you start feeding a stray cat in the backyard? They invite their friends. Guess how many stray cats she feeds now in our backyard? 10. Yeah, I heard that. Oh my God, yeah, pray for me. Will you pray for me? 10 cats in the backyard. But people think, and it's not just you or us, it's humanity. Humanity. We think that somehow if I do the right things, it's going to get me to where I want to go with God. And Jesus is saying it's never about that. It's about a relationship. Because look, here's reality. Look at number one. Here's the reality. Nobody can do enough. Nobody. I don't care who you are. You can't do enough. We can't do enough to earn it. It's a relationship. So here's, and that leads to misconception number two that the rich young ruler had. If what I've done isn't enough, I can do more. Jesus, if all these things I've done aren't enough, I can do more. Ever felt that way? Everyone in this room has. It's part of our DNA. Again, we see this in every culture in the world. Every culture. I can do more. In fact, We see it in every religion in the world. Every religion in the world, bar none, is all about whatever their higher being is, whatever they call the higher being, whatever the mental ascent is. Here's the deal. There is a code of conduct one has to do. Believe these things, do these things, and you will get to wherever you want to get to go. Every religion in the world is wired that way. Why? Because that is human nature. That's what happened to us in the Garden of Eden. When relationships fall apart, we default toward doing. All the time. When relationships fall apart, we default toward doing. And we're trying to do, we're trying to do, we're trying to do. It happens all the time. In the Garden of Eden, the organic, wonderful relationship fell apart. So what happens? They say, I can do something now to get in God's good graces. I can do something to earn his love. It happens all the time. When relationships fall apart, we default toward doing to earning love. You can bank on it. How many of you are married here today? Can I see the hands? Married, married, married. Okay, those are the ones who will admit it. Okay, thank you for that. God bless you. If you're joining us online right now, look, if you're live with us right now online and you're married, put in the chat, best decision I ever made. And then screenshot and send it off. Okay, look, here's what happens. Married people, you're going great. You're doing great. But something happens along the way. I don't know, somebody says something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You've been married for longer than a day. You know what I'm talking about. Something happens. And this wonderful relationship now, all of a sudden, what do we? It defaults to, when the relationship breaks down, we default toward doing to earn the love back. I got to do something. Maybe I can clean the house. Maybe I can wash the car. Maybe I can buy some flowers. We default to doing something. Family. Families are great. Families are wonderful. And so many families are doing it really well. But when the family relationship breaks down, we default toward doing to earn the love back. Let's go to Disney. Let's go on a cruise. Let's try and do something to earn the love back. Or you're at work. You got a coworker. You've got a wonderful relationship going on, great friendship going on. But somebody says something, somebody does something, the relationship breaks down. And now you're trying to do something to earn their love back. Bring coffee, bring donuts, bring a 2 p.m. cafecito. It's our default mode. When a relationship breaks down, we default toward performance. It happens in all of life. And it happens in our spiritual lives as well. When a relationship with God breaks down, we default toward performance. What must I do? What must I do? And Jesus is coming along in this conversation with this guy, and he's saying, it's not about what we do. It's about who we trust. It's about who we trust. And so here's a gift. Here's the reality in number two, the misconception. I can do more. The reality is it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Eternal life, getting to God, is a gift. Maybe the best way maybe is for me to maybe help and draw a little picture over here. So you are right now about to see an amazing artist at work, okay? All right, so here's us. Yeah, baby, come on, somebody. I majored in art in college, can't you tell? Okay, here's us, right? Here's us. Here's us, and here's God. Now, this guy in our story, this is exactly what he's seeing in his mind right now. I'm here. God's here. What must I do to get eternal life? That's what he's thinking about. What must I do to get eternal life? Is there something I can do? I can do. And if there's what I've done isn't enough, I can do more. This is what he's thinking. I can do more. I can do more. What must I do? Some of you are looking at this right now going, well, dude, just jump. It's not that far. Listen, you could be Mac McClung, who won the slam dunk competition in the NBA this year, All-Star Weekend. Look, nobody can make that jump. But what must I do? What must I do? What must I do to get eternal life? This is what we're all asking. How do I get there? How do I get there? He instinctively knew he had a gap. And all of us know this. We're all born with a gap. We know there's a gap. And there's something within each of us. Every human being in every culture in the world, all 8 billion of us, are wired in such a way to want to know our Creator. We all do. We're wired like that. Everybody. We're wired like that. But we don't always go about it the right way. And what we default toward, we default to do. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And what Jesus is teaching this guy right now is there's nothing he can do because there's one that has already done it all, and his name is Jesus Christ. The Bible calls Jesus in John chapter 1, it calls Jesus a stairway to God. Jesus is the stairway to God. It's a stairway. And that's why I tried to draw that. We're kind of a little ladder, kind of a stairway. Jesus is the one. See, every religion in the world is our attempt to get to God. And Christianity is different from every other religion because Christianity is God's attempt to get to man. That's why I never call Christianity religion. I know when you got to check those boxes and you fill out those forms, what religion are you? I never call it a religion because it's not a religion to me, because a religion is always a system of do's and don'ts to attain something. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship. So here's misconception number three. So this guy's getting this now. He sees Jesus in this conversation. He's getting this. He's going, okay, all right, I'm getting it. There's nothing I got to do. He's getting it. I got to put my trust in Jesus. So he's going, okay, I got to put my trust in Jesus. But now the guy's thinking, maybe I don't got to put all my trust in Jesus. This guy was very wealthy. Maybe there's a way I could like hold on to like my wealth and give Jesus part of my trust, but not all of my trust. And that's why Jesus told him, you got to sell everything and give it all away, because you got to trust Jesus all the way. Here's what number three says. Here's misconception number three, if you're taking notes. I can give Jesus parts of my life and still follow him fully. That's what this guy's thinking. I can give him parts of my life and still follow him fully. And here's the crux of the issue. Jesus looks at this guy and says, go sell everything you have and come follow me. Do you realize he didn't tell anybody else that ever in all the Gospels? Jesus never said those words to anybody else but to this guy. Why to this guy? Because he knew this was his issue. Now, this may be your issue. You may have a different issue. But Jesus is always getting after the heart of the issue. If I'm going to follow Jesus fully, then I've got to go all in. I've got to go all in. It's the issue. And Jesus is giving this guy an invitation. He's giving this guy an invitation. Opening question. Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? He's inviting this guy in. He's inviting him in. He's saying, look. You're asking the question. It's a great question. What must I do to get eternal life? What must I do to get to know God? How can I get to know God? Great question. He's saying, but you want to get to know God? Then you got to trust me fully. You got to go all in. You can't hold anything back. You got to go all in. You got to surrender it all to Jesus. But look, I'm just being honest. It's not easy to surrender it all to Jesus. It's not. I'm just being honest. It's not. I got some boxes with me up here on stage right now. These boxes represent some areas of our life that maybe we have a hard time going all in with Jesus. Here's the first one. Here's my love box. This one represents relationships. Maybe for some of you it represents a dating relationship you're currently in. Maybe it represents a marriage you're currently in. Let me talk to some of you that are dating or might be thinking about it. And you're going, God, Jesus, I love you. And I want to go all in with you. And I know this person I'm thinking about. I know this person that I'm dating. I know that it's Jesus. I know it's not the healthiest person in the world, but Jesus, can I still go in with you and still can I still date who I want to date? And Jesus is saying, look, if you date the people that you know you should date or the ones I want you to date, you're going to be way happier that way. Jesus is always inviting us into a full, rich, better life. Always inviting us. So this could be one. Maybe we don't want to quite give that one to Jesus. Here's another one. How about this one? This one represents our time. our schedule, giving that to Jesus. Some of you are going, Jesus, do you know how hard it is to live life in Miami in 2023? You want me to give you some time? I don't have any time. And then you want me to give some time to other people? I don't even have time for myself. How can I give my schedule to you, Jesus? This is hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but surrendering our schedule. Let me give you another one. How about another one? How about this one? What do you think this one is? Thoughts or plans or dreams? And some of you right now, you're afraid to give your plans and your dreams to God because you don't want Him messing them up. Some of you are going, I got it all figured out. I'm going to this college. I'm going to get married. We're going to have 2.2 kids, 1.7 pets. I'm going to have this career. You got it all figured out. And you're afraid to surrender it to God because He might interrupt it for something else. This was me. This was me. I was following Jesus, but I had my life all figured out. I had it all figured out. But one day, I heard a message similar to this one, and I realized, I got to surrender it all. I can't hold anything back. And can I tell you, the life I had figured out for myself pales in comparison to the life that surrendering it all to Jesus delivered. When you surrender it all to Jesus, the life he delivers, can I encourage you, surrender it all to Jesus. He's got a life for you that you've only dreamed of. All right, one last box. You ready for this one? What do you think this one is? Yeah, some of you going right now, Jesus, take my wife. Let me keep my money. You can have my wife. You can have my schedule. You can have all these things. Jesus, let me keep the money. Can I say this is one of the biggest holds on humanity? Is money. We will give God our sex life before we give Him our money. It's a hold. It's not just Miami. It's all over. So can I invite you? Trust God with everything. Trust God with everything. I stand before you on this stage today as a person whose life has been radically changed and impacted by the power of Jesus Christ. Trust God with everything. He says, give me back the first 10% that comes in. Trust me. Give me back the first 10%. Well, God, I can't afford that. If I give you back 10%, I'm going to go broke. God says, trust me with the 10%, and you see what I'm going to do. Trust Him with the 10%. You see what He's going to do. And every time we trust Him with the 10%, it means, God, I'm not trying to make this all happen on my own. I am trusting You. And when we give it all to God, that's when we find the fulfillment and the peace and the deep down happiness we're all searching for. And a complete and total surrender to God. That's when we find it. In fact, look what this last, if you're taking notes, this last fill in here on your notes. See, misconception number three was I can give to Jesus parts of my life and still follow Him fully. Here's the reality. God wants all of us. God wants all of us. Listen to these words by St. Paul, who wrote a lot of the latter half of the Bible. Look what he says, talking about all the stuff we're talking about today. All the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I've dumped it all in the trash so I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. This is what it's all about. Would you pray with me today? Would you pray with me as we wrap this up in a prayer? And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just a simple way of connecting with God right now. And look, we're going to just have a moment here. Just you and God. Don't worry about the person on your left. Don't worry about the person on your right, ahead of you, behind you. Chances for you and God right now. If you're online with us right now, you have a moment, you have a space where you could bow your heads and block out distractions. I'd invite you into this moment right now. Because there's a moment here. There's a moment. There's a moment right here, right now. And Jesus is having a conversation with you, just like he had with the rich young ruler. He's saying, are you willing to go all in? To hold nothing back? To trust me with everything, not just part of our life, but with all of our life? Open up every door of our home, every closet of our home, and saying, God, I'm trusting you with all of this. I'm trusting you with all of this. I'm trusting you with everything. Some of you right now, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment to go all in and saying, God, I'm trusting you with everything. This is your moment. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting you with everything. Some of you that are already Christians here in the room and listening to me right now, you're already Christians. But some of you, the relationship with God just kind of got sideways. And we know, we talked about today, that when a relationship goes sideways, we tend to try to earn it, try to do something, earn our love back. And your relationship with God has become transactional. Do this, do this, do this, and I'll get more God over here. And God is saying there's so much more out there for you than a transactional relationship. It's like when a marriage goes bad, it becomes transactional. That sucks. And God's saying, look, there's so much more for you. I don't want it to be transactional. I want it to be relational. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. As you spend your time reading the word and praying, I want it to be this organic, relational time. Some of you need to get back to that today. Just forget about the transactional stuff, because that sucks. And get back to the relationship that God wants you to have. Others of you, maybe today is the first time you heard about Jesus in this kind of a way. And you're going, man, I want to know Jesus like that. Listen, if there's never been a time in your life where you have said yes to Jesus as a friend, as God who wants to be a friend with you, then today can be your day. I'm going to say a prayer out loud. You just pray it inside. I said, Jesus, today I'm going to get to know you like this. I want to know you like this. I'm sick and tired of doing this stuff and trying to live it all that way. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. Some of you, this is what's happening right now in your heart, in your life. And some of you, listen, God is doing something in this place and in your space. Something's happening right now. And I know there's a little fear in some of you, but going, well, Pastor Kevin, can I really trust this God? If I give him these things you're asking me to give him today, can I really trust him? There's a little fear. I get it. There's fear. I can tell you today, you can trust him. You can trust him. Surrender to him. Surrender it to him. Surrender it to him. Live it his way. Live this life his way, and you're going to get a life you've only dreamed of. So much significance, so much joy, so much life that Jesus talked about. So Jesus, we say to you today, whether it's the first time or whether it's another time, we say to you today, Jesus, we're all in. And we say yes to you. And I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.